Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good morning, everybody. It's Dermot Whelan here, sitting in for Oliver. It's Wednesday, the 4th of June. I am with you until 10 a.m. Happy Old Maid's Day. All will be explained. Don't worry, that's coming up. And best of luck to everyone doing the exams today. You're going to be due fab. Let us know what you're thinking in the usual way. You can text 51551. You can WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32, or send longer thoughts in by email. We love getting your mails to oliver@rte.ie. So we have a great show for you this morning. Cast your mind back. What were you doing when you were age 11? Personally, I was collecting Smurfs, something that my my friends, my school friends that I still pal around would like to remind me of on a regular basis. But today we're going to be joined by what must be one of Ireland's youngest gigging DJs, DJ Sean M. He's playing big festivals this summer like Beyond the Pale and Kaleidoscope. And he's just 11 years of age. This kid was spinning decks while his own friends, I guess, were obsessed with slime and loom bands. Better than Smurfs. I heard Ray Darcy speaking to another young star yesterday, 15-year-old DJ Ellie Long. So the future of Irish dance floors is bright. So get the old glow sticks out. Happy National Old Maid's Day, which is celebrated on this day every year. Did you know that? To apparently, quote, shed light on the single and childless women over the usual age for marriage, end quote. Careful who you say it to would be my advice. It sounds like something out of a Margaret Atwood novel, to be honest. But yes, Old Maids, our Spinster's Day is celebrated in honour of women who choose to focus on themselves as individuals. I'll be talking to one writer who says women should reclaim the word spinster. Also this morning, what's it like to get chosen from over 2,000 applicants to star in a major stage musical? I'll be chatting to the stars of a new production of The Little Shop of Horrors, opening in Dublin next month. It's unusual in that it's an Irish production, because normally here in Ireland we get the touring version of the big West End musicals, who will do a stop-off at Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, which is fabulous because they're really entertaining. I've been to a few of them myself. Whereas this time, though, the theatre are putting on the show themselves with an entirely Irish cast and creative team. Jacqueline Brunton and David O'Reilly are playing the iconic Audrey and Seymour from the show and will be in with us to tell us all about it as well. But lots of stuff in the papers this morning. One thing that got our eye was Noel Gallagher, of Oasis fame, pictured getting the tube on his way to rehearsals for the upcoming Oasis tour. And the multimillionaire is a man of the people, it has to be said, as he's photographed quietly sitting on a bench at the tube station, like he has a few spare minutes before a job interview. Oasis, of course, are currently spending time in a secret studio for their reunion tour, although with paparazzi following him around the tube network, it probably won't be secret for too long. His brother, Liam, always the consummate rock star, made a far classier arrival. He came by van and was seen carrying several packets of lockets and a bottle of cough syrup. Very Vanity Fair altogether. The main reason for Noel getting public transport, incidentally, is because he doesn't drive. In fact, today's Mirror reports that he's currently selling his 1997 Bentley Turbo R luxury car, which he has never actually driven. If you're interested, because you've just found a few spare coins in the dashboard, the price tag for this car is £1.2 million. So get on it. It's not that he never wanted to learn how to drive, but actually these things can be tricky when you're super famous. Noel did get one lesson back in the 90s, but as he told Zoe Ball on the BBC, it didn't quite go according to plan.
I've never had a drive. I've had one driving lesson in the 90s, and the woman who gave me the driving lesson, right, I was driving around a housing estate in Slough, right, and she said to me, and if you just indicate and pull over here, and I pulled over, and she got out of the car, she said, I'll be back in a minute. She came out with a mum, she drove me to her house, and her mum was doing a picture of me in the street in Slough, right, and this is before mobile phones, it was like a snappy snaps camera, and then the local comprehensive bell went, and they all came out, right, and I'm in a red Nissan Micra with a massive, great big triangle on the top of it with an L, as all these kids are coming out of Slough. This is at the height of Oasis mania, right, and I was like, never never again am I getting in a car.
That's brilliant. It's probably the least rock and roll type of vehicle in the world. A Micra with a learner triangle on the roof. Incidentally, here's something I'd love to get your opinion on. 51551 is the text. My eldest lad had his first driving lesson yesterday, and after I asked him how he got on with the gears and clutch, I was like, oh, so were you able to manage it, that transition, and did you find it tricky? And he said, oh no, the car was automatic. And it turns out the instructor that he was using had recently switched from giving manual lessons to now just exclusively giving automatic lessons, because there was so little demand from people actually wanting to learn, I guess what our American friends like to call stick shift. And weirdly, it kind of triggered some deep Irish dad reaction in me. And I found myself mumbling things like, automatic? Sure, that's not driving. You might as well be in a bumper car. Like, what'll you do if you have to drive a vintage tractor in an emergency? It's snowflake driving. And it kind of tapped into some weird nostalgic longing in me for, I don't know, push starts on winter mornings and windy down windows. And I wondered, should it be a rite of passage for every young driver, you know, at some point have someone aggressively shout, lock hard at you through the window? Are we losing something? Are we losing something of our essence when we just hand over to automatic cars? But maybe aside from the fact that manual cars are obviously cheaper in the second-hand market, learning manual these days is possibly pointless. Maybe we're just being left behind. Maybe it's the same. Drivers felt the same way when they got rid of those kind of windy crank things at the fronts of cars back in the 1920s. Was there a whole slew of people going, that's not real driving if you don't have a handle to crank? I was looking at some figures this morning on the back of it. And in 2000 in the UK, 86% of cars sold were manual. In 2025, it was just 22%. And they reckon they'll basically all be gone by the 2030s. So I'd love to know your thoughts. Do you think it's still worth learning on a manual car? Maybe you're a driving instructor and you feel the same way. Maybe you're making that move as well. I guess the thoughts that come into my head is, what if you have to rent a car? Because a lot of car rentals tend to be manual, or you can get automatics, but they're mad money. But I guess that's changing too. Last summer in Crete, I rented a car and it was manual. And about 2 kilometres down the road from the airport, just after renting it, the gear stick came off in my hand. Like, not the knob at the top, the entire stick came out of the floor. And I managed to sort of screw it in, and I rang the rental company, you know, and the next day they were really apologetic. Oh, my God. So they arranged to meet me somewhere, and I expected them to arrive with a new car. No, a guy got out of a van with a tub of glue and glued the gear stick back in. I went, there you go. Have a great holiday. So maybe it is better that this manual thing is being phased out. Well, what do you think? 51551 or 087 032 32 32.